Welcome, friends, to the Amazing Health Summit. We're so thankful to see each of you here at the Granite Bay Hilltop Church, and also want to welcome those who are watching on AFTV and YouTube and Facebook and the other outlets. And now is a good time for you to take your phone and text a little message and say, tune in now to the Amazing Health Summit, and you will be blessed. We're going to be talking about how you can have a longer, stronger, more abundant life. Some of the basic principles so that you can just thrive body, mind, and spirit. And we've got just a great lineup of speakers. We just had a wonderful presentation from Dr. Laren Tin. And in just a moment, we're going to have another great presentation. I want to tell you before I introduce my friends that there is a free offer. And I think you'll be entertained by the title. It's called Death in the Kitchen by Pastor Joe Cruz, Death in the Kitchen. And for those who are here, when you leave, the magazine we offered earlier and this book, Death in the Kitchen, will be available. For those who are watching online, if you'd like to get a copy, all you have to do is text the word kitchen to 40544. Just text kitchen to 40544, or you can visit afsummit.org and you'll receive that free. And it'll cover some of the material that you'll be receiving in this seminar. Well, in just a moment, we'll have prayer. I'd like to tell you a little bit about our presenters. Daniel Vieira, it's Daniel and Jessica Vieira. Daniel is the director of Modern Manna Ministries, and he has grown up surrounded by health ministry and has learned a lot along the way. They operate the Bella Vista Lifestyle Center. Jessica Vieira is a registered nurse, a registered dietitian, and together they're passionate about sharing cutting-edge nutrition and lifestyle information with those who are seeking a healthier life. They specialize in detoxification, nutrition, herbal medicine, and hydrotherapy techniques. Their focus is to assist clients in regaining their health by adopting a plant-based diet and following lifestyle programs to reverse disease naturally. Additionally, they enjoy sharing the love of Christ with those eager to know more about His redeeming and His transforming love. In just a moment, we'll bring them up, but I'd like to begin with a word of prayer, if you would join me in bowing your heads. Loving Lord, we just pray that in a special way you will be with us now as we come together and learn principles of truth where we can experience optimum health, Lord, in serving you and loving you and serving our fellow man. I pray that you'll be with Daniel and Jessica in this presentation. Give them your Holy Spirit and give us ears to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So join me in welcoming Daniel and Jessica. Thank you.
Good evening. How are you?
Good.
Wonderful. I know your program says two individuals are presenting tonight, but I don't want to confuse you, but my wife is pregnant with our third child. We are looking forward to welcoming a new little boy into this world this coming May. So we are really excited for a little child, but also to be here as well. You know, as I imagine the majority of you are aware, there's so many diets out there, right? From the keto diet to the paleo diet to the Jenny Craig diet to the Weight Watchers diet, you name it, there's a diet for it. And what's interesting is we find that a lot of these diets are short-lived. Individuals may not be able to receive the results that they're wanting, so they give up. But what's interesting is the Bible talks about diets. Do you know that? It's really interesting. That's what we're going to jump into tonight. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, we come before you this evening, and we thank you for this health summit. We thank you for your greatness. And we thank you for the information that we have already received. I pray, dear Lord, that as Jessica and I provide this presentation, that we will decrease so you can increase through us, we pray. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this first diet, we're going to start off at the very beginning of the Bible.
And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, and which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree, and to you it shall be as meat." So we see that the Bible talks about the herb-bearing seed and the fruit of the tree. So it was essentially a fruit and seed diet, right?
An amazing diet.
And there are healing powers in these foods from the tree plants and from the herb-bearing seeds. They are phytochemically rich foods. And what does the word phytochemical mean? So phyto comes from the Greek word phyton, which means plant, and chemical is a compound found in the plant cell walls that contain these rich nutrients that help fight off viruses, bacteria, and fungi, or even cell injury. So when a plant gets injured from the weather or from pests or insects biting on it, then the plant itself releases these amazing phytochemicals.
God is so good, isn't he? So we're going to look at some of these phytochemicals, and we're going to take a look at some of the foods as well. So what we see here is glucuric acid. Have you heard of this before? It's really interesting. It's found in oranges and apples, and it may inhibit chemical carcinogenesis and prevent heart, prostate, and colon cancer. Isn't that amazing? We also see here
anthocyanins. Those are a type of phytochemical found in strawberries, raspberries, cherries, the peel of an eggplant, pomegranates. They are the rich pigments that are red and dark purple, and those help protect the cell walls, protect against cell lipid oxidation, and slow down aging, and help resist disease. They are so beneficial for fighting cancer when humans consume them.
And we also find flavonoids found in the citrus fruits, berries. And what's interesting about the flavonoids is they assist in keeping cancer-causing hormones, they keep cancer-causing hormones from latching onto the cells. Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm. And so we've mentioned the word carcinogen, or that is a substance that is capable of causing cancer. There are naturally occurring carcinogens, such as UV rays in the environment, and certain viruses can cause cancer too. And there's certain carcinogens that are man-made, such as automobile exhaust fumes or cigarette smoke.
So we see there's some concerns here, right? And we've looked at the fruits. Mm-hmm. We see the benefits in these fruits. But what about the herb-bearing seed?
Yes, so the Hebrew word for herb is aseb, and that word means grass or tender shoot. And an herb-bearing seed could include grains, whole grains.
Absolutely, and what's interesting is eating whole instead of refined grains. What's really interesting with this is these whole grains will lower the total cholesterol and your LDL cholesterol, which is your bad cholesterol. And we also see that these whole grains will lower triglycerides and insulin levels. And what's really neat is eating at least 2 servings of whole grains daily may help to reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes.
So what is an example of a whole grain?
Well, one thing I think of is what we eat every morning, usually every morning, oatmeal.
That's right.
We love oatmeal. We generally have this every morning with a green smoothie as well. And we really feel as if when we start our day, we want to nourish our body as much as possible.
And it lasts us until lunch. It's more filling than boxed cereal, refined grains from cereal. So eating whole grains like oats, quinoa, buckwheat, those are protein-rich, fiber-rich, and definitely a lot of health benefits to eating whole
Absolutely.
Grains over refined grains.
Now, the herb-bearing seed, but what about nuts? I mean, nuts are beneficial, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, research has found that frequently eating nuts helps to lower levels of inflammation related to heart disease and diabetes. And the Adventist Health Study actually showed a lot of benefits to this population group, to our population group, in when you ate nuts on a regular basis, and there was lower levels of coronary heart disease.
That's awesome, isn't it? And mm-hmm. It continues.
Yes, regularly eating a healthy diet that includes nuts can improve artery health, reduce inflammation related to heart disease. It can improve blood pressure.
Next slide. So we really see that God placed Adam and Eve in a garden to assist their health mm-hmm. through these foods that he gave us, absolutely. Which is amazing.
Yes. Nuts, the research continues. Nuts can help decrease the risk of blood clots, which can lead to heart attack and strokes, and lowers the risk of early death due to heart disease. So there's a lot of benefits to nuts. It can also help lower the LDL, or the bad cholesterol, and triglycerides, which those things can clog the arteries. Now, what about beans and legumes, though?
Yeah, they're technically, you plant them.
You take the seed, which is the bean, and you can
grow
a plant out of it, right?
And they're absolutely delicious and healthy, nutritious for us as well.
Absolutely. So that technically is an herb-bearing seed.
And what do we find?
So one of the best carbohydrate sources, especially if you have diabetes, is consuming beans and legumes. That can help lower cholesterol levels and regulate blood sugars. So the resistant starches and fiber in the bean act almost as like a broom that sweeps those things out of the gut and helps remove excess cholesterol and regulate the blood sugars. So that is definitely eating a cup of beans a day, especially if you have diabetes, is so beneficial for your blood sugar health. And including eating beans can actually improve the gut bacteria. And so your gut bacteria breaks down the fiber and it helps create these short-chain fatty acids too, which help lower the risk of colon cancer. According to the American Journal of Epidemiology, eating beans, peas, and lentils twice a week has been found to decrease colon cancer risk by 50%. Isn't that amazing?
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, do any of you like brownies? Brownies are good, aren't they? Now, Jessica, she makes a brownie recipe, and you wouldn't guess what the secret ingredient is. Beans.
Black beans.
Black beans specifically. These are good.
Yes, I actually sampled some at a health fair for a hospital one time, and people were pretty surprised at how good it tasted, and knowing that it was made from black beans.
Really nutritious. Now, seeds. Seeds are very beneficial as well, aren't they?
Yes.
We find that seeds are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. They reduce total cholesterol. They lower blood sugar levels. They increase oxygen to the cells. And they help joint mobility and bone density as well. Mm-hmm. We find that they balance female hormones. They strengthen the immune system. They have cancer-protective compounds. They nourish the hair, the skin, the nails, and they're high in fiber as well.
Mm-hmm. And I once came across this incredible study which took two women groups, female groups, who had breast cancer tumors, and they gave one of the groups some flax seeds in their diet. The other group was the control group. They did not have any flax seeds in their diet. After the study was completed, they analyzed through biopsy the tumor cells, and they found regression in the tumor cell growth in the group, 70% of the group that had flax seeds regularly, daily in their diet. And Dr. Michael Greger, who wrote the book How Not to Die, he advocates highly for consuming flax seeds every day, at least a teaspoon. So definitely that's something to add to your baking, to your whole grains, your hot cereals. Very important to add flax seeds.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've looked at the Genesis 1:29 diet, the diet that God gave Adam and Eve in the garden. But then something happened. As we know, Adam and Eve, they were tempted by the serpent, and they ultimately sinned. and they were cast out of the garden. But what's interesting about this is God provided a more abundant or more variety of food for Adam and Eve once they were cast out of the garden. So that's what we're going to look at here, mm-hmm. which is really interesting. And what do we find?
Yes, so in Genesis chapter 3, it says, "Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return." Now I want to mention something very interesting. God said, "For dust you are, and dust you shall return." He did not say, "And dust you shall return to heaven," or "Dust you shall return to a fiery hellhole." No, you return to the ground. And the Bible is clear, if we look at the totality of Scripture on the state of the dead, that we return to the earth. We sleep when we die. We don't immediately go to a heaven or a hell. And that was something that was introduced by pagan religions that influenced other religions. And a lot of Christian religions somehow have caught on to that, and they believe strongly that you go to heaven or you go to hell once you die. But the dead know nothing.
That's true.
There's very many verses on this.
Neither have they any more reward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention, though, that God did not curse the vegetables. Thank the Lord, right? He said he cursed the ground mm-hmm. and brought forth thorns and thistles, and you will have to toil and labor in that. So that was the consequence of sin, is that we have to work hard for our food and produce and agriculture and certainly contend with the pests and the weeds. So that was the curse, not the vegetables.
Yeah, absolutely. But what we find is the vegetation here. Mm-hmm. And looking at some of the nutrients in these vegetations, we find that indole-3 carbonyls found in your cruciferous vegetables, they're absolutely fabulous, and they're great at lowering estrogen and reducing mammary cancers, breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. There's so many benefits to cruciferous vegetables. That is a vegetable family I love to talk about. The cruciferous vegetables are your broccoli, your cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. Those all trigger the formation of glutathione. That's one of the most potent antioxidants that your body makes, that God instructed your body to make. And that helps block carcinogens. It helps to reduce inflammation. It helps to enhance the detoxification pathways of the liver. And these are specifically the isothiocyanates that scientists have studied in these cruciferous vegetables, and one of them being sulforaphane, right? Sulforaphane is an isothiocyanate found in cruciferous vegetables, but in abundance in the sprouted vegetables, cruciferous vegetables. So there's been a lot of health hype about broccoli sprouts, but the literature actually suggests that arugula sprouts, kale sprouts, radish sprouts, all the cruciferous vegetables, when they begin as teeny tiny baby plants, they all have the same potency of sulforaphane that broccoli sprouts do. So you can certainly get away with eating kale sprouts and having benefits just like you do from broccoli sprouts. In fact, they've reported 20 to 100 times more potency from these sprouts than the mature vegetable, or like the mature head of broccoli. So that helps remove carcinogens from the cell. Again, helps with liver detoxification, boosting glutathione, lowering inflammation. It's something that is just very cool that God placed in these vegetables.
And we love to eat a variety of sprouts. Mm-hmm. We will place them on our salads.
Yeah.
And they're so easy to grow.
Add them to your sandwich, yeah.
They're so easy. And we also find allele sulfides found in garlic, onion, leeks, chives, make carcinogenesis easier to excrete from the body. You know, growing up in an Italian family, we put garlic on everything.
You ate a lot of garlic.
We ate a lot of garlic.
That was the number one remedy. You pop some garlic cloves in your mouth.
You know, it's interesting. You could actually take garlic, a clove of garlic, and you slice off the end of it while it's still in its protective husk. You could place that. I've placed it. I'm not telling you what to do, but we've placed it in the ear to kill off the bacteria for an ear infection. Isn't that cool? I mean, using garlic. So what else do we find here?
Just careful, though, because it can burn. The juices
That's
can,
why
can
you
burn.
Leave it in
you
the
leave
husk.
It in
yes.
The husk. Another vegetable that I love to talk about are beets. Beets contain natural nitrates. Those convert to nitric oxide, which deliver oxygen to your tissues, dilates your blood vessel, boosts energy, athletic performance, and endurance. And get this, free divers that took a shot of beet juice before they dove down, holding their breath, were able to hold their breath for 30 seconds longer after taking beetroot juice. And also cyclists who performed at peak performance, when they took some beetroot juice, they were able to max out 2 minutes after their normal regular time of exhaustion. So it really boosts athletic performance and endurance. It's very cool.
So you're saying I could ditch the expensive energy drinks?
Yeah.
And I could attest to this because I have taken beet powder, beet juice before going to the gym, and you do. You feel as if you could go longer. You get that extra pump. And plants that God made for us. Isn't this wonderful?
Yes. And I just wanted to add a little disclaimer, though. If anyone has had kidney stones related to oxalates, beets are high in oxalates. So I don't recommend juicing a whole lot of beets and drinking that if you have kidney disease or have had kidney stones that are oxalate kidney stones.
That's true. So we see something else happened here, right? We had Adam and Eve in the garden. They sinned. And then we see the flood happened, right? And as we look at that story, we know that, you know, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and Noah was on the ark with his family. And there was this provisionary diet that they were given, right? Because there wasn't any vegetation on the earth. But the key here is it was a provisionary diet because they didn't have the vegetation. And as we look into this, what we see is Genesis 7, verse 2, of every clean beast, thou shalt take, to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. So what's interesting here is we see that there's a difference between a clean and an unclean as well, right? And we also see in Genesis 8:20 that Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offering on the altar. So again, we see a clean, right? So there is a distinction between a clean animal and an unclean animal as well, right? We also see in Genesis 9:3-4, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herb, but you shall not eat the flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Interesting.
Yeah, so the question, how could Noah distinguish between the clean and unclean animals?
Yeah, so, you know, this is interesting because when we look at Abraham, in Genesis 15, Abraham was having a discussion, a dialogue with God. And Abraham was looking in the night sky and saying, Lord, what about my descendants? And what was interesting here is one of the signs here was that Abraham was to offer up specific animals. And one thing that's interesting with this is we find later on in Genesis that these animals were actually clean animals. So I believe Abraham knew the distinction between clean and unclean. Therefore, Noah, I believe, knew the distinction between clean and unclean as well.
Yeah, God directed him which animals that would go in.
But what about these little friends?
Oh. Yeah.
What does the Bible say about these cute little animals?
It says, their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you.
And these are scavengers. I mean, they will practically eat anything that is put in front of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about this? Well, continue here.
Oh, well, the Bible calls, you wanted to talk, though, about the lobsters and the crabs, right?
Yes, that's right.
The Bible calls those an abomination.
An abomination.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting?
You have something to share on
what's
this.
Interesting is years ago at our family's vegetarian cooking school, we had a retired fisherman who raised his hand, and he said, "Hey, I have to tell you guys something. I have been fishing for crabs and lobsters my whole career. And you know when I had my best catch?" It was early in the mornings, near the docks, right after the boats would release their sewage tanks. They're eating the waste. They are the bottom feeders, the scavengers of the sea. I don't necessarily think that God created these for us to put them in our bodies, but I mean, look at this. I mean, what do we usually do? We toss it in boiling water, and then we smother it with butter.
We torture them, the lobsters.
We squeeze lemon over it, and then we feast off of their bodies. And we're eating sewage secondhand. I don't know, but I'm not interested in those.
So the Bible continues and says to abstain from things offered to idols, abstain from the blood. And this is in the New Testament. From things strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. So we have similar health laws, hygiene laws that are continued into the New Testament after Christ came and ascended.
That's true. That is. But why no blood? I mean, was there something specific with the blood?
Yeah. Scientists have long known that blood carries infections and toxins that circulate in an animal's body. If people eat animal blood, they're needlessly being exposed to infections and toxins. And Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood carries the nutrients to the tissues. It bathes the tissues and muscle cells and organs with the nutrients and the red blood cells and the oxygen and the white blood cells. And so the blood is key to life, and it's the pathway. It carries all these nutrients, mm-hmm. and there can be toxins in them too. Many genotoxic substances are transmitted by eating toxic flesh, such as scavengers, and the blood of any animal or the fat or cattle, sheep, or goat. Those are items God did not intend for us to eat. He did not intend for us to eat the blood of the animal or the fat of the animal. And a lot of toxins are fat soluble.
That's true. Look at this.
They're stored in the fat. The insecticides, the pesticides, the herbicides, antibiotics, other chemicals that the agricultural industry gives their flocks and their their cattle and everything, that can get stored into the fat. And a lot of people love the taste of meat because of the fat, because of the blood in it too. But there is a lot of toxic loads that are increasing as the years go by, we find.
Which is true. So this is interesting here. Can humans become infected after eating meat or drinking milk from diseased animals? What do you think? Yes? No? What do we find? Do you remember this headline right here? So from the late 80s into the early 2000s, mad cow disease was killing so many individuals. And did you know that the fat, I'm sorry, I think we have a mix-up in the slide here.
That's okay. The disease, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, is the human variant of mad cow disease. It's a fatal and degenerative disorder that destroys the brain and spinal cord over time. And once you get the symptoms, it can actually kill you within a matter of a month or so.
Yeah, and it could actually be years before you come down with symptoms.
Yes.
But like you said, once you come down with the symptoms, it's extremely rapid.
Yes. So it's rare, but it still, it does prove the point that disease is definitely transmitted by animal flesh too.
Now, dairy. I mean, come on, let's not touch the dairy here, right? I mean, what do we see? In 1970, the National Mastitis Council announced some strains of microbacteria similar to those that are associated with tuberculosis have been found to survive pasteurization.
Yeah, that's pretty frightening.
I'm sorry, I'm skipping all around here. We've lost our slides.
Go back this way.
Let's see.
Yeah. All right, so to this quote from Seven Testimonies, page 135, it says, "Tell them that the time will soon come where there will be no safety in using eggs, milk, cream, or butter because the disease in animals is increasing in proportion to the increase of wickedness among men." And I wanted to mention eggs. So eggs are mentioned in this quote. There we go. Eggs. Eggs are mentioned in this quote that there will be a time where there will be no safety in these certain foods because of the increase in the wickedness of men. The avian bird flu has taken out a lot of the poultry industry and the egg industry. It's affected them. We've seen prices in eggs increase. According to the CDC, they say that there is no risk in getting avian bird flu from eating contaminated eggs. But in the same sentence, they say you need to cook the eggs at a certain temperature to kill any viruses. And of course, the egg farmers go to great lengths to make sure that their flock is being spared from the avian bird flu. Avian bird flu has been found to be contaminated by the wild birds or wild flocks that come in and mingle with the farmed birds. And I think that's still concerning because we've seen a report recently that the U.S. government has approved a gain-of-function research on avian bird flu, and they've tried to separate out and modify this flu virus to try to better understand it. But of course, that poses the risk that it could be used as a bioweapon and used against humans. And we have evidence, or they've actually purposefully modified the virus and put it into ferrets so that it can jump species. So the avian bird flu has been manipulated and modified so that it can affect mammals. And so there is a risk to humans from that, which is unfortunate. The other thing I wanted to point out that was interesting I found is from toxic chemical spills. And we've heard a lot about certain toxic chemicals that have been in the news, like in East Palestine in Ohio, and how the residents there are complaining of health issues because of the pollution that has gone on. This is not the first time that toxic waste has affected the public, and there are egg farmers and cattle farmers and dairy farmers, poultry farmers around that area in the Midwest too. But there was a report done off of Mossville, Louisiana. A lot of the population actually relocated from Mossville after they found high levels of dioxins that were contaminated and in the public's blood levels, and they found it measurable in the eggs in that community too. Now, Mossville, Louisiana has a few vinyl chloride production plants, and they make vinyl chloride that helps to make, it's used to make PVC, so the hard PVC pipes, and also vinyl chloride is used to make phthalates, which that's in a number of commodities today, so this is, dioxin is a very highly toxic chemical that can really disrupt hormones, cause cancer, and so a lot of these poor people in this community of Mossville, Louisiana have had to relocate, and they found measurable levels of these toxins in their dairy supply, unfortunately.
So we see a concern with even the eggs. I mean, so many individuals love their eggs, right? And to have to give these up, that could be concerning. But what do we see here? As we look at another diet here, the manna diet, diet number 4. And this is really neat here, because we know that as the Israelites were leaving Egypt, they were wandering in the wilderness for how many years? For 40 years. And God gave them food. What did he give them? He gave them manna, didn't he? And we see here in Exodus 16:35 that the children of Israel ate manna for 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They ate manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. And what's interesting here is we see manna, a provision from heaven, known as angel's food or food provided by the angels, to gather it 6 days a week, not on the Sabbath. It was golden in color. They would make cakes out of it. It tasted of fresh oil. And we see here, it tasted like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made out of honey. A type of Christ, the bread of life. And we see here the Israelites despised the manna, and they cried out for the flesh pots of Egypt. And you know what's interesting is we meet so many individuals, and I believe they're crying out for these flesh pots of Egypt. They're not wanting to give up their meat, their chicken, their bacon, their beef, their dairy products. They're not necessarily wanting to adhere to the diet that God originally gave us and established in the Garden of Eden. But, you know, looking at the food supply that we have today, it's concerning, I think, especially looking at the state of the food that it's in, right? But then we find something interesting, and I think this is where it really brings it home for us, is because the Eden restored. This is diet number 5, friends. Because what are we going to find? Look at these pictures. Look at the fruits here. What are we going to experience when we are eating at the banquet table with Christ? Are we going to be going out and killing a cow, killing chickens? I don't necessarily think so, right? What do we find? In Isaiah 65:25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock.
So these carnivores will become herbivores.
Right? And what do we find in Revelation 21, verse 4? And there shall be no more death. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. God is still on his throne, and it's a beautiful promise that he has for us. There will be no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow.
And because of this, we're going to be eating a vegetarian, plant-based rich diet.
In heaven.
In heaven. We're not going to be consuming the dead cow. You know, I don't know about you.
There won't be bacon and eggs for,
I don't know
for
about
breakfast
you.
In heaven.
Yeah. But I don't want my stomach to be a cemetery for dead animals, right? And when you look at food and when you realize what your body actually needs to survive, you find that we do very well just on plant foods. Mm-hmm. You know, I was raised as a little boy, and I remember individuals would always ask me specifically, what do you eat? Where do you get your protein? I mean, do you just eat broccoli and carrots and lettuce and that's your diet? But you know, it's amazing the variety of food that is out there and how delicious it actually is, you know? So, you know, friends, I don't necessarily know where you are at on your dietary journey. I don't know what health challenges you may have. I don't know what convictions you have experienced. I don't know where you are at in your lives right now. But, you know, our prayer is that this presentation will be a catalyst for you to solidify what direction you are wanting to take regarding your diet and what type of a dietary approach you are wanting to live to benefit your health. You know, we certainly find in 3 John 2, we read that it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may what? That you may prosper
and be in health." Yes.
God wants us to prosper. And it's amazing to know that we can prosper on a plant-rich diet. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's absolutely wonderful. So friends, if in your heart you have a desire to abide by God's word, if you want to recognize the teachings of the Bible tonight, then I just ask that you pray with us this evening as we seek the Lord together. Dear Lord, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for your word, for your instructions. And dear Father, we pray that you will bless us, that you will restore us and you will redeem us. We thank you for this wonderful event and the education that we are receiving. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we thank you for coming out this evening, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Amen. All right, well, thank you so much. Yes, and thank you for coming out despite the rain and the cold. This is our second presentation in a 7-part series. So the rest of the presentations are going to be tomorrow. We're going to have a power-packed day. It starts at 10 a.m., so we want to encourage you to be back at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. We'll have a presentation at 10, 11. We're providing lunch. We have a free lunch. Everyone is welcome to stay and join us for that. It's going to be at 12:30, and then we've got some great presentations in the afternoon. We want to remind you about the free gift. We called it Death in the Kitchen. This is one of 2 free gifts we're going to give you on your way out. For our friends who are watching online, if you would like to receive the little book called Death in the Kitchen, all you have to do is text the word kitchen to the number 40544 or visit afsummit.org. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening.